welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. This week, oh my god, I messed it up already.
It's okay.
I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing Castle in the Darkness and Tonight Dies the Moon.
Yeah. Let's get started. Nick, tell me what's cool about Castle in the Darkness.
I will indeed. Castle in the Darkness is a retro platformer published by Nicalis. It was done by Matt Kipp, who was the lead artist on Binding of Isaac Rebirth. And it shows. It is a very cool low pixel aesthetic and a very Dark Souls inspired gameplay where it's just balls difficult and like very much about like learning patterns of enemies.
Well, probably closer to like what Dark Souls was inspired by. So like closer to like Castlevania.
Yeah, it's definitely got a lot of Castlevania elements to it. But yeah, so it's got a lot of hidden secrets that are really cool to explore. Apparently, although I didn't get far enough, there's a wider array of weapons and powers you can get up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just a super solid game that probably would have sold like hotcakes if it was released in the NES era.
Yeah, it is like a post Shovel Knight release kind of thing. Like this kind of people making the NES games they wish were out.
Yeah.
You know, feeling to it. I don't know if it's quite as good as Shovel Knight, or at least not as complete.
Yeah.
The mechanics are a little bit more shallow, I think.
I agree. But
it is like a really, really fun Castlevania game. Like it is, you know, really fun bosses that are, you know, like Nick said, about pattern recognition. It's got like some kind of Metroidvania elements to it. Like they're in some nonlinear exploration.
Yeah.
Towns. You know, people to upgrade your weapons, like merchants and stuff like that. They're really cool. And where kind of the Dark Souls-ness only really comes from the checkpoint system.
Right.
And the kind of glee it takes in you dying. So like similar to, you know, like 1001 Spikes or something like that, like there is a death counter that you get like when you die, and you get achievements for dying a certain number of times and everything like that. Like it is meant to be super difficult.
Yeah. It is definitely very difficult. So I did not get very far in this game because it's super hard, and I didn't realize the time dedication it would take to get like a significant chunk into it. But what I have played of it is like it's really, really cool. I like that despite it being super simple mechanics and stuff, that bosses will, there's like the Dark Souls run up to the bosses that you have to like, you will fuck up on. By accident, just like right before the boss, you're like, I have to fight this fucking, I have to run back to the checkpoint, or I have to go fight this boss at half health. Wait, I already died last time at the first hit, so what the fuck?
Yeah, it is, it punishes rushing.
Yeah.
In that same way. And not just in the boss run-ups, but all the time. Like, similar to how Castlevania is, like, very thoughtfully laid out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enemies kind of cover each other.
Yeah.
Hazards are meant to overlap in a way that there is kind of a specific way to get through it without it feeling, it's not like I want to be the guy style cheap.
No.
It's just, you just have to figure it out. And stop and think a second, you know, before you kind of blindly rush in.
Right.
There are meat walls in it that I've run into, like sections where, I feel like I'm not prepared to do this yet.
Yes.
And I have to go back, which is, again, I guess it is very Dark Souls-y and is pretty cool. Like I always like it when a game communicates, you know, that way rather than just like a literal wall.
Yeah, I definitely hit one of those too. Pretty early on, there's like a castle I entered where everything was way too difficult, and I was like, all right, go back and find a different route because this is not where I should be.
Yeah, it's a really good kind of expression of like, because the power-ups you get, the weapons you get, nothing that I've found so far in the game has been that creative. It's just like a really well-done execution of it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't innovate the same way I think Shovel Knight does, where Shovel Knight feels like the best NES game, but maybe draws inspiration from like DuckTales,
right?
You know, or something like that, like a game with more kind of interesting movement and stuff. And the power-ups are much more interesting in that game. This kind of takes, it's more generic power-ups, more generic movement and everything, but they did a really good job concentrating on the level design.
Yeah, level design, you know, is super solid.
Yeah, like if this had been on the NES, like this would have been a stone cold classic.
I agree.
Yeah. I also didn't get that far into it just because it is so hard. I really like it. Like I beat the first major boss, which is the gigantic knight who's a huge sprite and really impressive looking.
Yeah.
But I didn't get much further than that because, again, I just died a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think I got a little bit further than that, but not much. I would like to spend more time with this game. It feels like it's going to be a serious time sink, though.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it would. I would love it to be on like the 3DS eShop or something like that.
That'd be super.
Like, it would work really, really well with the checkpoint system and the kind of frequent deaths. Like throwing in a couple, you know, runs on the bus or something like that would work really well.
Yeah, let's hope that happens. That sounds like a really good plan. Actually,
that would be a good fit. And the game's really, really well reviewed, and people definitely dig it.
I agree. So good job, Matt Kip. We enjoy, or Cap, sorry, Matt Cap.
I love seeing a game like this that's made by one dude.
Yeah.
You know, more or less. Like he had, you know, resources at his disposal, working to Kylos and everything. But, like, that's just very, you know, this is just a guy who just decided to make the game he wanted to make.
Yeah. Just wanted to make us, like, the NES game he wished he was playing.
Yeah. And Nykalis is like, what can't they do? At this point, like how in what ways are they not amazing and doing just incredible stuff?
Yeah, they're definitely on a real solid streak. I heard they had some rocky beginnings with like Castle Story stuff and things like that, but man, they've been killing it lately. So
the cave story,
I think the original, there was like stuff about one of the ports and like how they, I don't remember. I think there was funding stuff and also asset changes that people were not fans of. And
you said Castle Story. Do you mean Cave Story, or is there another game called Castle Story
you don't know about? You're right, Cave Story. My bad.
Because the port of Cave Story is really good, I thought. There's a 3D port that they may have also handled that people didn't like.
I think that's the one I'm referring to.
Okay, because the Cave Story Plus like 2D version is like the definitive version of that game.
No, that one is really solid. You're right.
Yeah, and then they're responsible for that too. So like, and then obviously Isaac and you know, they Rebirth specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they've done good work.
So, I agree.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Tonight Dies the Moon, which, as we've fully expressed a couple times now on this episode, we're big fans of Tom McHenry, who Gary has some little ties to.
I met him through, like, he is friends with my girlfriend, but I met him through the game first before I knew him.
Right.
So because I played Horsemaster before I met him in person, and we've hung out for a grand total of one evening. So
okay.
But in case anyone's going to accuse us of collusion.
Yeah, exactly. Just want to let the gators know that there's some light ties here.
Don't feed the gators with us. We're both big fans, though. If you go back to a really early episode, we did a Horsemaster.
Yes. And he just makes some super solid Twine games, which are text adventures that he publishes for free on his site. This one's actually not published on the site because it was part of a game jam, but
the Anthlo Jam, which was put together by Zoe Quinn and her boyfriend Alex, and it was a themed game jam around 50s retro nostalgic sci-fi.
Nice.
Which is very cool. Like, that's an awesome theme.
Good theme.
And I haven't played anything else from the game jam.
No,
but it's all available if you go to anthlojam.com.
Yeah,
And you can find all this stuff, but I was most interested in this just because of the pedigree.
Yep, because Tom's a cool guy, and this definitely fits the same sort of themes that he published in the other two games we've looked at. So Tonight Dies the Moon is, as I said, a text adventure. It takes place in the year 2000, and the general setting is that the moon has been populated for a while now by kind of some refugees from Earth, and since then the Earth has been at war with the moon.
Yeah, well, it's real tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, and it's real, the war is real one-sided.
Earth
keeps fighting the moon keeps trying to live on despite being bombarded constantly. And the game's real neat in that you can play as either a Denzian of Earth or a Denzian of the Moon and get to complete different stories in this setting.
Yeah, it's kind of two games. Like the Earth campaign or what have you is much closer to what we've seen from Tom before, where it is kind of an emotional story. There are one of the things that Tom does a lot with his Twine stuff that I think is interesting, and this is essentially what Power Cycles was, is trying to do stuff with Twine that it's not necessarily made to do.
Right.
So there's like this little like shooting segment. There's like a part where you're at this like boring dead end job and everything. Like, he kind of plays with the format. of it, and kind of shows in this dystopia that he's made what life is like for an Earthling. If you play as somebody who is a moon denizen, then it is like a sim. It is much, there's more mechanics to the game in that respect. And that's something I haven't really seen him do before that is pretty neat. In the spirit of disclosure, though, like, and this is interesting and we'll talk about it during the spoiler section, I didn't think there was an ending to that, and I guess there is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two different endings I found. It doesn't get too far, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. So on top of, you know, his themes of trying to do things with twine you're not supposed to, he also builds a lot of kind of strange dystopian commentaries. The Earth side's really neat. I have when you start it off, you have like a birth name, but one of the very first things it asks you is what is your I forget what he called it, but it's you can change your name on a whim, and it's essentially used by everyone as basically their Twitter status, where your current name, which you can change it, I think it might be current name actually, which you can change at any time, people will use to like reflect their current emotions.
It's your change name.
Yeah, your change name, yeah. And you can the character you're playing as kind of makes fun of people for changing their name for sponsorship. Corporate interests have paid them to change their name to advertise their brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really, really fun thing for Twitter to become your name. That was a neat theme.
Yeah, or like passive aggressively changing your name.
Yeah.
To things. That's like one of Tom's big strengths is this kind of wry talent for dystopianism.
Yeah.
Which comes like very clearly, and you can feel this in Horsemaster, and you can doubly feel it here, comes from like barely contained contempt for his job, it feels like. Which I really appreciate as somebody who has mostly had jobs I've absolutely hated.
Yeah.
Almost exclusively. And that's really fun. And the game, he's just a really sharp writer, like it's very funny.
Yeah.
And this is no exception to that. I mean, I will say, like, for me, the moon section, which I thought this was kind of part of the point, and I'm really interested to have you kind of spoil this for me, because mm-hmm. it felt like, you know, hey, it's the moon, it's this big glamorous thing. The play was really demoralizing and boring to
yep.
me in yep. a way that I was sure was intentional.
Absolutely.
But I thought it not ending was part of that. And it's yeah. curious to me that like, I'm just kind of surprised. Like, I gave up, I realized, because when I thought I figured it out. Like, oh, this just doesn't end. This is the point, is paralleling life on the moon with life on Earth as both being these kind of like sad sack drone like existences.
Yeah. With that said, I think it's not even really worth spoiling the ending to that, because essentially at some point, and I don't know how long it takes, but it takes a while, it basically stops you and like it comes as Tom's voice as the creator of the game is like, you know, you could do this forever, but I think I will save you that and say, like, this is just going to go on forever. That's essentially what he says at the end of the moon section is, I could let you go at this forever. I don't know why you'd want to.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. There is one alternate route to that, and that is managing to buy yourself a ticket to Earth, which I played a second time just to maximize myself and get that ticket paid mm-hmm. for. And that one, you know, it's essentially just a quick blurb about your person or your character getting on a ship and becoming a citizen of the U.S. Basically by saying they're no longer like turning themselves in, no longer an enemy of the Earth, and that allows mm-hmm. them to come back and become a citizen of Earth. So it's used as propaganda. People who come back to Earth from the moon as these you know, war criminals turning themselves in.
Hmm.
So
because I mean the idea being like when you're the Earthling, you want to get to the moon,
mm-hmm.
and the idea that like I thought I like, and I guess I maybe I did, where like I kind of figured out where it's like, oh, both these people want what the other person has,
yep.
and what neither of them have is very good.
Yep.
You know, which is, you know, that's an interesting thing to explore in like a sci-fi milieu. And yeah, so very, very cool. Like it is, that is what these kind of little games are good for. I think is like an expressing an emotion or an idea.
Yeah.
And he's really good at that.
The dual dystopia where both sides think the grass is greener is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a neat theme I haven't seen before.
Yeah, it's very cool. Like, so, you know, again, full disclosure, like, I know him and I have a vested interest in him succeeding, but he doesn't make any money from this.
Yeah.
Like, it is free. So, but I would recommend people check it out, especially if they've checked out the other stuff.
Yeah. Also, I don't know him and really like these games. Yeah. So
you can trust Nick, even if you can't trust me.
Yeah.
And you can trust me because, you know, why wouldn't you? Like, it is, I mean, I don't need to rant about this for like 1,000th week in a row, but like, why would anyone be like, yes, I want to be friends with people who are cool and creative and smart. So you sue me, like, you know. No, I'm going to exclude, because I cover games, I'm going to exclusively like limit myself to being friends with people who don't make things.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Very dumb.
Yeah. But, what's not dumb, Castle in the Darkness and Tonight Dies the Moon.
I agree. Play both these games. They're very good.
Yeah. And like all of Tom's games, like Tonight Dies the Moon is really short.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate as a thing that like, I like a game that it's like a movie or a TV show where I can't get invested in something. It's long term, but I can just take a bite and have a complete experience in 1 hour or so.
Yeah, I played the Earth Side on a lunch break at work. So
yeah, that's really fun. So
play them out. So yeah, we said that one's part of the Anthologam. But I'm sure you can find a link on Tom McHenry's site, which is noncanon.com. Canon spelled CANON, not like the shooting one.
Mm-hmm. And you should also follow him on Twitter at Tom McHenry because he posts a lot of really funny comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll call it there. It's a little bit of a short episode, but
no, we warned you.
Yeah, we warned you. We warned you short episodes are coming.
Yeah. because we're getting ready for Bloodborne. Or I'm at least getting ready for Bloodborne.
Yeah, I don't get to, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, maybe once I have Bloodborne, I'll feel comfortable loaning you my PS3 and you can play Demon's Souls.
Fair enough.
So you can be a couple generations behind. Yeah. Which you should play.
I know.
But yeah, Bloodborne, and then also I just moved and started a new job and all that jazz.
Yeah, so, lots of stuff going on. We apologize, guys.
Yep. So if you want to suggest games for the show, you can go to duckfeed.tv/contact or go to the Check It Out Comrade page, which is duckfeed.tv/comrade.
Yep.
And
you can also find us on the regular social media outlets, facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade or Twitter @comradepodcast. And if you've got some cool short games, let us know, because we could use them.
Yeah, and your ratings and reviews are always appreciated.
Of course, yeah. iTunes, let other people know that we're awesome, and we'll really appreciate it.
Yeah, tell your friends.
All right, guys, that's it for today. We'll check you next time.
Yeah, talk to you later.